I greet you once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and a very warm welcome to one and all. Turning back to our Bibles, to the book of Zechariah, verse 12 is our text, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. And this verse is speech in the royal note. This is the word of a king. And this is the word of a king who has power. And when where that word of a king is, there is power. It is the word of Jehovah. Notice the capital L-O-R-D in verse 12. I will strengthen them in Jehovah, King of kings and Lord of lords. And you may know it by his sovereign power. How? He says, I will, and they shall. Let us look at this verse carefully. Will and shall, these two words, will and shall, are not for us feeble human beings, but the Almighty God who sits on his throne. And he has a right to that imperial style or imperial manner. It is in order for him to say, I will, and they shall. It is, he has the power to say that. And since he has the power to make good his words, this kingly speech is no novelty with him. You will find all through God's covenant utterances, he speaks in the tone of omnipotence. He speaks like one who knows his own mind and understands how to rule the minds of others. Only God is able to say of free will and of free agents, I will and they shall. His government is such that without violating the nature of the creature that he has created and putting upon it any physical constraint contrary to its own condition, God can accomplish his own purposes in all respects. God's grace knows how to work gently, quietly, very potently, so that the most unwilling feel themselves pleasantly constrained to be willing. And those that were most desperately opposed feel their hearts relenting and their spirits yielding to the divine purpose. The grace of God secretly melts down the ice, breaks to pieces the rock, and dissolves the adamant. The sinner's stubbornness is broken. His or her rebellious spirit is melted, and yet the sin remains entire, and with all his or her heart cry, I will. Though before he had been resolute, the shell of grace, the shell, S-H-A-L-L, is mightier than I will of pride, of man's pride. The will of the Lord Jesus leads the will of man like silk, more strong than the chains of iron. Dear friends, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the sovereignty and omnipotence of divine grace. If God has said they shall, then assuredly you will. Blessed is the Lord God of all, who doeth as he wills in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. With that as an introduction, let me call your attention to that glorious promise of this text, which we have just read. Every covenant promise that belongs to the seed of Abraham belongs to every Christian believer, for they are the truest spiritual seed of Abraham. In Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, circumcision or uncircumcision, the inheritance is not according to the flesh, but it is according to the Spirit, according to the promise, according to the grace and the power of God. Without the slightest hesitation, each believer here, brethren, may appropriate, may use to himself or herself, or avail herself or himself to this promise as far as it suits his or her condition and necessity. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Now, take note of the saith the Lord. It is like a great royal seal, confirming the charter. So, if thus saith the Lord, makes assurance doubly sure. You can be assured of that. You have here a word from the mouth of the Almighty God. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to take hold of it, to feast upon this text, for by every word of God shall man live. First of all, the first thing we like to consider from this text, verse 12 of Zechariah 10, is here we find an extraordinary form of strength, or an extraordinary type of strength. I will strengthen them in the Lord. As you all know, there are many forms of force or power. Men possess more or less various kinds of strength, but this is a singular and special kind of energy. I will strengthen them in the Lord. Physical strength is good indeed, And it also comes from the Lord. What a blessing it is to be strong, to be healthy, to be vigorous. But a man may have Herculean strength, but it may be a curse to him. Why? Because he may use his physical or bodily strength for the very worst of purposes. The brute within him may be the more brutish because it is so uncontrollable. The strongest man that ever lived was one of the most unhappy of men. Through the temptation to which his vigorous flesh exposed him, who is that man? Samson. Samson was the weakest as well as the strongest of men. Let no man, let no woman glory in his or her bodily or physical strength. Man has but to take iron and he can build for himself an engine which shall be stronger than thousands of men. There is nothing very noble in mere animal strength, though some glory in it, boast about it as though it makes them heroes. On the other hand, there is another type of strength, a higher strength, so to speak, which we call mental power, the energy of the mind. Certainly, again here, this is a very desirable talent, a very desirable power. Yet men or even women of great minds have descended into follies unworthy of the weakest. This is a sad fact, isn't it, that befalls many of great intellect. You see, dear friends, mental force or mental strength or mental power without moral principle has become an engine of destruction, an instrument of mischief. Think of it this way. Of all kinds of criminals, the educated criminal is the most to be feared. The thief who knows nothing is readily captured. But he that is skillful and well instructed baffles the police and blunders without making himself the victim of the law. It is not an unmixed blessing to possess unusual mental power. It involves great responsibility and may therefore increase the guilt of its owner or of its possessor. Then beside this power, beside the mental power, there is another power which I may call official power. The power of those in office. That strength which a man or a woman collects and vests in himself or herself by reason of their position, by reason of their office which he or she occupies. And this is not the highest order of power. The man is at the head of an organization or an institution of men and women, and they, these men and women, become his forces. A leader finds strength in his followers. By his influence, he sways them. His word is law to them or command. He speaks and they obey his instruction. They are ready to do everything or nothing as he may choose. It is a great power, no doubt. But oh, how frequently again this power has been misused for the purposes of the demigod or the tyrant. This kind of vested power is, after all, not a very desirable thing. For he who has such vested power almost wish to be without it. Why? Because it entails so much of work and toil, anxiety and care and responsibility, and so difficult, and it's so difficult to use it correctly. It is well used. If it is well used, rather, it works to the noblest or the best result. But in the hands of one who is spiritually weak, such vested power is as dangerous as firearms in the hands of children. Thank the Lord Jesus that the power spoken of here in this text is a different power. It's a far superior form of strength that either of all these things that I've mentioned is none of that at all. God says of his people, I will strengthen them in the Lord. Oh, how much we Christians need to experience this possess or this process to the highest degree to be strengthened in the Lord. We need more and more of such an experience to the highest degree. We can never have too much of strength in the Lord. It is a thing so pure, so heavenly, so divine that if we are strengthened, till we became spiritual Samsons. If our minds were enlarged till we became spiritual Solomons. And if our influence over others, I mean good influence, were increased till we became commanders like David. Strength from the Lord would make us suitable or fit to put to good use of these lower forces or of this lower powers which I have just mentioned earlier. To be strengthened with strength in the Lord is of all things the most desirable and blessed. But what is it? What is this kind of strength in the Lord? Does it mean a strength that comes distinctly and directly from God himself and give us a measure of power with which God himself is strong in the spirit, so far as it is communicable to his creatures? God is strong in his will to accomplish good and for his own glory. Strong in resolve, strong in love, strong in right, nothing can overcome him or turn him aside from his divine purpose. He is strongly, or rather he is strong morally because he is infinitely holy, unquestionably just, immutably good. Righteousness and integrity are the bulwarks of his kingdom. We understand from other parts of the Bible that whenever the Lord strengthens a man with divine strength, it makes him strong in faith. And I'm speaking of a Christian here. He believes the promise. The believer believes the promise, believes it intensely, makes a matter of fact of it, and acts upon it. He does not stagger at the promise through unbelief, but he gives glory to God. Strengthened with an inward might, he learns to look at the word of God as sure, certain. He takes it to be his daily food and rejoices in it because it is a pearl of great price to him. Another feature of this strength from God takes the form of great patience. This is another aspect of this strength from God, or God gave to his children. Those who have been severely tried and tested and afflicted, but they are not overcome. They have been cast down indeed. They suffered. They have not been destroyed. They have been distressed, perplexed, but they are not in despair. Do we find such a person in the Bible? Job. Job was such a Christian, strengthened in the Lord. You know, when you look, or rather read, the accounts of Job, the suffering and all that he went through, I really do not know where to point to a greater instance of the strength of God in man. Job was stronger than his enemies, stronger than fire, wind, and death. He was covered with sore, boils, but his heart was not conquered. If any of you have felt even one of such horrible suffering that Job went through, you can guess what a torture it must have been to have these boils on your whole body, from skin, from head to foot, and then to scrape it because it's so painful or itchy, with a pot shed. And then to have this feeling or this sense of loss. Everything was comparatively a trifle. But to sit there in his sorrow and to be tortured physically, mentally, and then beside that, so bitterly accused by his friends of being a hypocrite. And then yet he, bless the Lord, was no easy matter. In Job, we see the weakness of man, but still, we see the divine power was gloriously visible, working and strengthening his heart when he cried out, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job 13:15. This is a kind of power. This is a kind of strength which only God can give. And he that gets it is a spiritual giant in the esteem of those true Christians who know how to estimate the highest forces in the truest manner. Next, the man who becomes strengthened by God himself becomes strong in prayer. You and I should see the man of God upon his knees. The poles of the doors of heaven move while he pleads with God in prayer. The windows of heaven open while he wrestles with God, with the Lord of hosts in prayer. Jacob is such a man. When a man is thus strengthened, he overcomes heaven by prayer. Prayer. A man that is strengthened with such might as this can face whatever the world throws at him, can face his fellow men as bravely as Elijah met 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The man made strong by God, strengthened in the Lord for himself, becomes a mighty power among his fellow men. It is a power greatly to be desired that you and I should be strengthened. Not by all this power of office or mental power, but strengthened by God's strength. For then we are prepared to do the Lord's work effectually. And in fact, do any other work effectually for God's glory. There is a real distinction among the servants of God. Those servants having power and those servants not having power. And God here in this text tells us, Christians, that if we desire it and will have it, He will strengthen us in the Lord Jesus Christ. One final point before we move on to our second heading is that, notice here, there is no limit set in the text. Did you see that? I will strengthen them in the Lord is a general statement without a boundary. It does not say how far God will strengthen any one of his children. And I would therefore encourage all of us who are Christian believers to try as far as you can be strengthened by the Lord. There is a boundless field before the Christian believers. God has opened the door and none can shut it. I would encourage every one of us to have this craving ambition with regard to spiritual strength. We cannot be too strong in the Lord. Let us get on our knees and plead to God to strengthen us as He has promised, I will strengthen them in the Lord. Now let's move on to our second heading, and I call your attention to it. I call it a divine operation. Here we are considering the giving of the strength. Who gave the strength? And you know the answer. God Himself, declaring that He will bestow it. The Lord Himself says, I will. I will strengthen them. God Himself will impart strength to His chosen people. And therefore it will be fitly infused and wisely balanced. This operation is so needful for every Christian believer. You know how it is with our bodies. I mean our physical bodies. If we suffer from a long illness, even when the pain is gone, there is this weakness still left in us, isn't it? We are still affected by it. We still feel weak, even though the pain may go away. And we require time to regain strength. So restoration to our physical body is a long process, because the weakened body only recovers strength by slow degrees. Now, coming to our soul, like our body is sometimes grievously diseased and afflicted, and we fall into sin and backsliding. And this is true of Christian believers. And then doubt and fear comes in. And then we slide down, we go further down into lukewarmness and grief. And then we are brought to despair and despondency and discouragement. But then, it is at those times that we need this text. I will strengthen them in the Lord. Brethren, dear friends, your sin is forgiven by the grace of God. If you are truly a believer, your sins is forgiven by the grace of God. Your great grief is taken away by the kind application of the blood of Christ by the Holy Spirit. But you are still weak and downcast. And we as Christians, we cannot deny that. We must acknowledge that we are still weak, even though we are Christians and true believers. So in your weakness, this divine word, this promise is intended for you. I will strengthen you in the Lord. You are out of order spiritually. The Lord will be your physician. Have you been careless? Have you forsaken the Lord and turned away from Him? Have you fallen into sin? Are you cold towards God? Do you long to be set right? To walk anew with the Lord? Then come boldly before the throne of grace, for the Lord Jesus says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Therefore, surrender your heart to Him, submit to Him, surrender and subject yourself to Him, and Jehovah Rophi can commence now that great, glorious work of spiritual restoration in your soul, and you shall indeed arise and put on strength. This strength is faithfully promised, and the promise will be assuredly performed. I will strengthen them in the Lord. God never said I will without intending it. His promises are His purposes. Christ has set a yea and amen on every promise of God the Father. And each one of us who are Christian, you can be sure as the truth of Jehovah. Lay hold on the promise. It is as sure as God lives. He is able to strengthen you. He is willing to strengthen you. And He will effectually do it in answer to your earnest and humble prayer. This strength shall be divinely bestowed upon you. It shall come directly from God the Holy Spirit. He that made you live at the first, when you became a Christian, make you live more vigorously as you continue your pilgrim journey here. For Christ came not only that we might have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. If you, brethren, desire more life, go where you first received life. Go to where? Go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to you, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then the final point from this text, we have a satisfactory outcome. A satisfactory outcome. What is the outcome? Or what is the end result? And they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Walk up and down. It means activity. They shall be on the move, that is to say, and no longer a sluggard. They shall get to work. They shall worship and serve the Lord Jesus. And they shall live a life that will be glorifying to God. They will be striving and in spiritual battle. They shall be making spiritual progress. They shall be spiritually fruitful for the glory of God. And so this phrase, walk up and down in his name, implies ease and security. Is it not true? People do not walk up and down when they are afraid of their lives, or when they are in fear, or when they are under pressure to keep an engagement or in a rush. No. Here, they shall walk up and down. Insecure, but active pleasure. The Lord gives to his people, when he makes them strong, a happy, joyful activity. It shall be a joy to them to do what the Lord bids them to do. For he is no taskmaster. He does not set us to make bricks without straw, like the Egyptian did to the Israelites. He does not drive us like slaves, but he blesses us as sons and daughters in Christ and strengthens us. Jesus says what? And you are familiar with this verse. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew 11:30. Those that are saved, those that are born again in Christ, in union with Him, and made strong in the sense of their salvation and mighty through contact with the Almighty God, these are the people that they go up and down the field, living a glorifying life and a blessing to others for the advancement of God's kingdom. These are the people, these are the Christians, are to be found what? Steadfast and unwearied, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because, not in their own strength, because they have experienced that in the Lord Jehovah, there is everlasting strength. They did all this in the strength of the Lord, because the Lord strengthened them. The second part of our text seems to present another idea or another teaching. The idea of perseverance. This walking up and down in the name of the Lord means keeping or keep going at it. Going on from today, from day to day, from week to week, from year to year. Again, this is not for a moment. Just like I mentioned this morning in our study of the book of Acts. This, the book, the purification goes on. And here, same. We do, yes, of course, we do as Christians sometimes, or from time to time, we go down, we feel low, we are discouraged, we are downcast. But when the Lord Jesus comes and makes us strong, we soon get up again. And peace succeed to all. We are not always in a storm. Occasionally we do, by the grace of God, in the wisdom of God, we enjoy a long stretch of smooth sailing. We thank God for that. But it is not good, brethren, to be all together without trials and affliction. Is it not true for any one of us after we have recovered from illness or sickness, and when we taste our food, is it not more tasty or delectable after we have recovered from our illness? When you taste your food again, is it not wonderful, a feeling, so to speak, to have a good appetite? When you know the wormwood and the gall, the affliction that is, as a Christian goes through, as David was afflicted, when you go through that and when you recover, then the joy of the Lord is as heavenly as heaven below. Up and down walking brings a wide experience, which is better than monotony. Brethren, I would encourage every one of us to aspire to the strength that only God is able to give you and give me. Let him that place himself under the operation of the Holy Spirit of God, and when he has felt the inward invigoration, let him walk up and down in the name of the Lord, taking healthy spiritual exercises in divine things. But for some, and this is my last point, you cannot do that. Why? Because you first of all need to make or to be made alive unto God. You need to come to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and as your Savior. You will not be able to experience or to be strengthened in the Lord and then to walk up and down in His name in the first place if you are not a believer. Therefore, I do not ask you to pray for strength for those of us in this category, outside of the kingdom of God. But I plead with you to pray for eternal life first in Christ. While you are yet without strength, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. With all your weakness and your death, trust in Christ who said to you, "He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live." When you have found Christ, dear friends, you shall learn what a God-like life is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, may the omnipotent God impart his own boundless power to you according as you have the need for the Lord Jesus' sake. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful to thee for this promise, for this reminder. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord of hosts. O gracious, loving Father, we praise and bless thee that we have every spiritual blessing and resources in our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we can live. And therefore we can continue to live our lives that glorifies thy holy name in the strength of the Lord. Because you are here, as you have promised, to strengthen thy people, to empower us by thy Holy Spirit to continue on in our pilgrim journey, to walk and finish this race till you come and call us home, or till you come and receive us unto yourself. And so, Lord, in this new week, as you have so given it to us, help us to make full use of it, that we, as thy people, will live our lives to the fullest, meaningfully and purposefully for thy glory, for the blessing of others, for the advancement of your kingdom, and for your name's sake. Only give us the grace, the wisdom, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do so. For we confess, Heavenly Father, we have no such strength. Such divine strength comes only from you through your Holy Spirit. And so we give thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.